The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 557. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And the returning one, Mr. Brian Mangioma.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I am back. Sorry I was gone for so long. I had to start a new job in Amazon.
It didn't last long. Oh, man. It's your fault. You fucked it up.
You did it.
Oh, man. It's crazy. I know. Brian, it's good to have you back, man. We were talking off air, and Brian was just saying, like, Poland is very clean. That's what happens when you go to another country that's actually cleaner than yours. I've had that experience when I went to Germany. I'm like, oh, shit. This is clean. What the fuck is this? But good to have you back, Brian.
Oh, I missed a chance to go see CD Projekt Red. Whoa. So next time.
Yeah, next time. You'll get him, you know. Hold on. Young Savage, what's going on, brother? A podcast starts at 9 p.m. Gotta fucking love it. Well, for us, it's 10:30 p.m. You're just like, you must be in Central Time, you know? But yes, we are back. A couple of things. So Chris is still on vacation. He was actually sending me some photos of a hat he wants to get me. He was like, oh, would you be cool with this? I'm like, dude, whatever you get me, I'll be happy with. I'm an appreciative person, you know? And then Brett's doing some stuff, and Adam's probably at the TV terminal as usual, you know? Or maybe it'll be like the Sunday show where he shows up an hour late, you know? But we'll see what happens. But yeah, man, so let's get into it. It never ends. This is now officially an Xbox podcast because not this is like the sixth episode in a row or something where it's just been Xbox. So, I mean, there's other stuff that happened beside Xbox, but Xbox was the big thing. So this is a crazy story. And this is coming from Bloomberg. But since I don't have a Bloomberg account, because you got to like pay them and shit, I'm going to read this from Windows Central. So the headline here is, inside Xbox's profit pressure, how a 30% margin target is reshaping everything from studios to strategy and upsetting fans. Microsoft CFO Amy Hood has forced Xbox to deliver an industry margin far beyond what is typical for gaming in general, which will devastate the business if not rectified soon. I'll read some more, but the basic gist is Microsoft has like this projected 30% like profit margin for, you know, Xbox, the Xbox division, right? And this is why we've gotten everything that we've discussed about Xbox in the last few last few years, it all makes sense now, right? This is why the consoles cost more. This is why we've had so many, layoffs, so many studio closures, the price of games going up, because all this is done to get to that 30%, right, profit margin. But as I not only did I learn that, but I also learned that that is not an industry standard. That is way beyond. Even PlayStation Division doesn't have that, you know? So let's get into it. Over the summer, and this is from our boy Jess Corden. he goes, over the summer, I said on my Xbox 2 podcast that I'd heard a rumor that Microsoft was forcing Xbox to deliver a 30% profit margin. However, unable to land enough concrete evidence, I'd hoped the insane figure, he said insane figure had been hearsay. I must have been right, right? Apparently it isn't. Bloomberg reporters Dina Bass and Jason Schreier, our good friend, just revealed that Microsoft CFO Amy Hood is indeed asking Xbox to meet an, quote, accountability margin, end quote, of 30%, which is far, far in excess of reasonable targets for the video game industry, and in particular, the gaming hardware industry. Here's some more detail. Over the past few years, Microsoft's gaming division has undergone some insane and self-destructive transitions, cutting studios, slashing marketing budgets, and sprinting to release games on rival platforms to the detriment of its own. Damn, Jez is keeping it real right now. Microsoft has also rapidly hiked prices, harming customers while laying off literal thousands, reducing any semblance of goodwill Xbox had left to zero. The changes, according to Bloomberg, coincide with Microsoft CFO Amy Hood taking a greater role in the gaming business at Xbox. The 30% profit demands are far beyond industry averages, which range in the low 20s at best. So yeah, all this shit that's been going on with Microsoft, this is the reason. This is it. And I'm like, and I don't know if the report goes into this. I'll keep reading while you guys chime in. But I'm guessing this is like, yo, we just spent billions and billions of dollars on all these acquisitions. I think it's like over $100 billion if you like factor everything they've been buying in recent years. It all makes sense now. Absolutely insane. Manny, you had some stuff to say before the show, so you want to share them now as you're sharing the entirety of your house. Yeah, I know. Oh, you're muted.
Yeah, I don't know what's...
But here's the thing, Manny. The quality is fucking crisp.
Yes, it's crisp.
It's like the nicest you ever looked, you know?
I'm having issues with the zoom on Elgato face cam. For some reason, they removed the zoom ability.
That's stupid.
So anyway, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'll have to look at it. But anyway, so yeah, I was asking before because it's like, you know, what is the usual for a regular console thing?
Yeah, low 20s.
So like, why? Like, it's insane that they're making these sorts of demands. You know, as far as their gaming division. It's like, okay, yeah, I guess they're expecting to pay off for all of those acquisitions they made during the pandemic. But it's like, I don't know, man. Like, are you like, it's like they're just pulling the belt tight just so that they can justify their existence. I don't know, man. They're already talking. they threw up the price of the what do they call it? The console. They put up the price of
Game the Pass. Dev units. Now, yeah. The dev, we're going to talk about that too. Yes.
So you know? Like they put up all the prices on everything. Like, to be honest, like they're going to kill their fucking, they're going to kill themselves. And like, to be honest, like I think they should just, you know, put a fucking, we'll put a fork in fucking Xbox in general and just close that shit all off. To be honest,
man,
just keep the whole day. Just clear out the dance floor, because obviously they're not going to reach this with a full Xbox division. They're just going to have to be Microsoft games, because none of this is going to make any sense.
Yeah, I'm going to read this comment because it kind of goes with what you said. And remember, this is coming from Jess Corden, Xbox's number one fan, right? He goes, the inconsistent messaging and seemingly desperate price hikes have people questioning whether or not Xbox is deliberately sabotaging Xbox. And it certainly seems that way. Microsoft has been forced to repeatedly come out and deny that it's looking to kill Xbox hardware and deny that retailers are canceling orders. Yeah, I mean, that's a little conspiratorial, but it's like, it does seem like Microsoft wants to just kill Xbox, you know? Like, what's one way of trying to kill something you don't want? You just make this arbitrary goal that's impossible to hit. How the hell is the Xbox, right? The third one in the console race supposed to meet higher profit margins than the more successful ones? Again, even Nintendo we don't know Nintendo's numbers, but again, they're not 30%, you know? It is absolutely insane, man. But yeah, Rich, I don't know if you have any thoughts on this, man. I really want to hear what you have to say.
Yes, I do have some thoughts on this. So, I believe you and Manny said it best. They are trying to kill Xbox. Self-sabotage. Because, and we saw it with the price hikes, Game Pass, you know, all of this stuff. And of course, the mixed messaging. When they say something and then they do the exact opposite. So, I feel as though, you know, like you guys said, paying for the acquisitions, but maybe they are also still, I'm pretty sure that Nadella is not still, he still isn't happy about the fact that they got taken to court with the FCC, because I'm pretty sure they did not anticipate that was going to happen. Obviously, they had to pay legal fees for that. But I just think it's pretty ridiculous with all the money that Microsoft has, why they would push this so heavily, it really makes you question, do they even care about this division? And I would say absolutely not, because there is no brand. You can't look at Xbox and say, okay, I know this game as an Xbox franchise game anymore, because all those games are coming to PlayStation as well. So, yeah, if they might as well eventually transition to the whole thing about becoming just a third-party publisher.
Xbox,
they might as
Gaming, well move in that right? direction. Yeah, Xbox Gaming. I mean, excuse me, Microsoft Gaming. Let's just call it that.
There you go.
You know?
Yes, Microsoft Gaming, because they want to, because that's where all this is headed. Obviously, there is some news forthcoming that I guess we will be receiving in the future regarding some other games that may be coming to PlayStation. So
some rumors. Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, I think that's pretty horrible news to know that, but it would make sense now when you see that they continue to raise the price of Xbox Series X and S. Although I don't know who the hell is buying the Xbox Series S right now. But yeah, it all makes sense now why they're raising these prices. And I think it's a really bad strategy overall.
Yeah. I want to read this comment from Blitz. He goes, I think the end goal is to kill the console business and making it MS Gaming 100%. It looks that way. It really looks that way. And then he says, they can then turn around and say, sorry, Phil, you didn't hit your targets, so you got to go. Listen.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
He ain't getting no window seat. He's gone. They're going to kick his ass out. Oh, and by the way, you know, this is, I'm going to assume related. Our boy Satya Nadella, you know, obviously the CEO of, you know, Microsoft, he is now enjoying a $100 million pay raise. Yeah. Pay packet. Very interesting.
Now, can I ask a question? When was this particular news released about this pay increase? This happened this week?
Yes, 2 days ago.
Okay, so I'm wondering to myself, all the people Microsoft laid off, how did they feel about this?
Yeah, oh, this headline's great. Also, for this is very interesting coming from Windows Central. They're getting pretty upset with Microsoft. So the headline here is 96.5 million for Nadella. Microsoft CEO receives record pay in a year that saw 15,000 layoffs.
Ooh.
Ain't that something? You laid off 15,000, not 1,500, 15,000. That's 30s. And he gets a pay raise.
That's corporate America, man. Well,
how do you think they're getting the money from?
That's right. Yeah. Cut these motherfuckers off. I need my money. I got to buy another island, you know?
Yeah. And with his and he's also had that initiative to move a lot of things to AI. So
other thing, exactly.
So, man, more money for me, right?
Yeah. Yo, man, you give me them segues, man. I'm gonna read this. I'm gonna read just the end of the article. This is a really good article. Shout out to Jess Cord. I know, you know, sometimes we give him brief and stuff, but I do actually genuinely like the guy, you know. And I just because we're like under the same business and shit, you know, because we had our beef back in the day. He was the one actually DM'd me and wanted to squash it. I'm like, this is cool. We've been good ever since, you know. So anything I ever say that may seem negative about him, it's not coming from a place of hatred. I actually do respect the guy, you know, unlike Jason Schreier, you know.
Ooh.
I don't care about Jason Schreier. I really don't. That dude blocked me. Don't care. With Activision Blizzard, Microsoft's gaming division surpassed Windows itself in the firm's diversified business. With the AI boom fueling Microsoft's share price, CEO Satya Nadella is enjoying a near $100 million pay packet in stock incentives, which preclude gaming from the equation. That is interesting. With analysts and speculators trying to figure out whether or not the quote-unquote AI boom is actually predicting a gigantic AI burst, you'd think Microsoft would want to ensure its diversified business model remains healthy to reduce exposure. Apparently not. The sprint of short-term thinking and anti-consumer ideology will not only fail to deliver its desired 30% profit margins, but it will also serve only to crater the only viable consumer brand Microsoft has left. When will the insane greed end? Damn, Jez. My man laid it down. But he's right. It's like, if you want to, like, you know, make the Xbox brand hit these lofty numbers, which they're not going to do anyway, they're going about it the wrong way. raising the price of everything, pretty much telling customers, there's no reason to buy an Xbox. All your games are coming to PlayStation. We're going to talk about this later because we've already had two of the three pillars of Xbox go to PlayStation. Forza, Gears, and now we're hearing about the third one. You know what that is. We're going to get to that soon. So if you're an Xbox guy, what incentive do you have to buy the system when all the games are... Think about it. I didn't buy a fucking Xbox. This generation, there's no need to. All the games are on PC or PlayStation, you know? So how is that going to get you to 30%? It makes no fucking sense, you know? So, yeah, again, I don't want to jump into speculation, but it really does seem like Microsoft is deliberately trying to kill Xbox so they could just fold it into Microsoft Gaming, you know, and just kind of keep the best parts of Xbox for itself and be like, all right, Phil, Sarah Bond, you know, you're gone, you know, but I could be wrong, but that's just me. Go ahead, man.
I really wonder what the stipulations were between, you know, Nadella and the higher ups and Phil Spencer when it came to all of these acquisitions, because they made, you know, close to $80 billion acquisitions back, you know, close to 5 years from now, you know, at least with the ZeniMax and, you know, Activision was like 2 years ago or maybe close to 2 years ago. So all of these, you know, acquisitions, it had to come with a promise. And I wonder if that 30% margin was part of that promise. It's like, hey, we got Call of Duty, we got Candy Crush, shit. We got all this stuff. We'll deliver you. This is games as a service, baby. This is hard margins at its best. So we'll get you those high margins. We just give us those games, or just give us those studios.
I have a response to what Carlos just said. I'm sure Phil Spencer's conversation with Nadella went something like this. Just invest all this money. Trust me, bro. I got you. Don't worry about nothing. Just trust me. I got you. With no plan whatsoever. Just acquire all these studios and that's it.
I could just imagine him talking, because I think you might be on the money there, Carlos. But I could just imagine they're in the boardroom in Nadella talking. Like, hey, man, like, yo, if you give us the money to buy Activision, we're going to bring it crazy amount of money, you know? And then, like, maybe a sensible person goes, yeah, man, we're going to bring you 25%. Then somebody else comes in, well, man, we're going to do you 30. And then they look at him like, 30, what the fuck? You know, it's like, oh, man, this is not good, you know? Blitz has the incompetence involved to have all these franchises and to fumble it. Yeah, it's amazing. I've never seen... I mean, actually, no, you have. Look how fucking Disney has handled Marvel and fucking Star Wars. That's, you know, that's actually worse. But you can't take something that's been successful and completely fuck it up, you know? 30%. They're insane, man. But I think you're right, Carlos. Somebody said, like, yo, 30%. We got you, man. Just give us that money, you know? Because remember, for years they've been talking about how if they could just get the 2 billion people that are mobile to move over to Game Pass, they'd be raking it in. But again, like, and I've said this a million times on this show, that's also unrealistic because mobile gamers don't care about the same stuff that console gamers do and vice versa. So there's not going to be that overlap that they wanted, you know? It's just, I find it funny, right? How these are supposed to be quote unquote professionals and they're fucking dumb. I'm just a fucking barely educated regular dude. I know more than these motherfuckers, you know? I could have told them how to handle this shit. It's crazy, man. I don't know. Brian, do you have any thoughts on this?
I honestly don't know what the end game is, because it seemed like they're doing everything they can just to mess up Xbox. And it seems like it's on purpose. So maybe, again, as you said, maybe this whole thing is just to get rid of Phil and then do what afterwards? You know, like, okay, so they get rid of Phil, fine. And then they set up Microsoft Gaming, fine. But then what? They very, like, tarnished the brand and got to a point where people just hate them. So, like, ironically, if their plan is to get rid of Phil, then they'll end up just ruining the brand in the first place to the point where it's really unprofitable. So, again, I'm just confused. I don't know what they're planning. I don't know what they're thinking. And it seems like they want Xbox dead. I don't know why. I don't know why. It's weird. So yeah, it's just a case of, okay, I guess this is the end of Xbox. Like, we're watching it die in real time. So yeah, I guess next generation or generation afterwards, just being Sony and Nintendo.
Yep, pretty much. It's crazy, man. Reggie sent a chat. He goes, I believe that when they bought Activision Blizzard, they knew there would be a lot of redundancies and things of the like. And another thing that hurts them, some of the publishers under Bethesda and Activision weren't doing well. Game Pass didn't save them. Nope. You know, I've been saying, like, Game Pass is the worst deal for developers. You know, it's crazy. And by the way, Reggie, you know, since you're there, I will keep my promise to you. You know, when Phil Spencer gets fired or leaves Xbox, you're going to get a Tony's take, man. Going to finish off the trilogy, you know, so stay tuned, man. But yeah, another bad week for Xbox, man. I want to jump into this because we already brought it up. So yes, not only are they raising the price of games and consoles and subscription services, they're also raising the price of development kits for developers. Yay.
Yeah.
Manny, what the hell is going on here?
I have no idea, man. It's we do actually know what's going on, man.
Well, now we do.
It's like we got that news before earlier, right?
Yeah, we got the developing kit was earlier this week. Yes,
it's like it just seems like they're just trying to create these unrealistic goals, and then all right, we don't need this anymore. We don't need you, Phil. We don't need any of this Xbox shit.
I got to read this headline from Games Radar Plus. Seemingly determined to make Xbox less appealing and less affordable in every way, Microsoft reportedly raises the price of development kits to $2,000. Why are you doing this to developers? To developers, the motherfuckers that make your games. That is insane. So I'll read this real quick. Not content with rapid and sizable console and Game Pass price hikes, Microsoft is now reportedly raising Xbox prices for developers as well. Xbox dev kits, the custom hardware provided to developers who want to make games for the platform, is said to be jumping from $1,500 to $2,000. That's according to a new report from The Verge, citing an internal announcement sent to Xbox developers. This price increase will evidently take place immediately in the U.S., EU, and beyond. I've reached out to Microsoft to confirm the price increase, but I've not heard back at the time of writing. But this was from a few days ago. I think they did confirm it by now. I don't quote me on that though. But everybody's reporting it like it has happened. Blitz, that's a good one. Goodbye, it at Xbox. If you're a fucking indie developer, it's gonna be more expensive to develop on Xbox now, you know. But again, this goes back to what we're talking about. This is another way for them to raise, you know, to get to that 30%. They're not gonna do it though, you know. I don't know, man. Xbox. What is you doing? You know, it's like that meme, right? Oh, baby, what is you doing? It's like you see him fucking up. But yeah, I don't know. You guys have any thoughts on this? Because this is not hurting developers, you know? Nothing?
Yeah, I don't
know,
man.
You guys have nothing?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah. It's just like everything is just coming at once.
It really is, right? It's just all piling together, you know? So, you know, that's kind of fucked up. And then here's another one, because again, we're an Xbox podcast now. All we talk about is Xbox all day, every day.
What's wrong with Xbox?
What's wrong with Xbox this week? You know? So this one is from our homegirl, Sarah Bond, who says that exclusive games are antiquated. Okay. You know, again, why would you say something like that? It's because when you're putting all your games out on every console because no one's buying yours, of course you're going to say something like that. You know, it's insane because I think she was on. Yeah, she was doing an interview with Mashable. Probably I didn't read it, but it's probably a puff piece. She was on some other thing, like, and it was just another puff piece too. They weren't asking her the hard question, you know.
Yeah, and then she also has that wonderful media training. So
she does. You could tell. You know,
mm-hmm. So she, you know, you get to ask her a question, but she doesn't answer the question.
Yeah,
she answers whatever question she wants to answer.
Yep. So mm-hmm. This is what she said in an interview: the biggest games in the world are available everywhere. You look at Call of Duty, you look at Minecraft, you look at Fortnite, you look at Roblox. That's actually what's really driving community and gaming. That's where people gather, and the idea of locking it to one store or one device is antiquated for most people. That's what Sarah Bond says, not realizing that exclusives have traditionally sold consoles, you know. But then again, mm-hmm. then again, if you're not worried about selling consoles, you know, why would you care about exclusives? Xbox does not have any more exclusives, especially if a rumor comes true this weekend. It's really done, you know? Think about it. We're going to talk about this later when we review Ninja Gaiden. I'm playing this game on PlayStation, right? What is the very first thing I see when I pop it in, right? When it starts, the very first thing I see, Xbox Game Studios. That's the first thing you see before anything else. Mm-hmm. It's all, it's done. Exclusives are done for Xbox, you know? It's crazy. And then you get the usual marketing bullshit from her, you know? I'm going to say something that's probably not PC, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think Sarah Bond gets away with saying a lot of dumb shit because she's a hot woman. I'm just going to say it. People look at her and get smitten.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm just saying. I think that's what happens. She says all this dumb stuff, but you look at her, oh, man, she's pretty. Yeah, you know, motherfuckers just, you know, lose it. I'm just throwing that out there, man. I know that may be antiquated, you know, to say, but, you know, some dudes just think with their other head, you know. It's crazy, man, but another sign that it's all over. it's fucking over. Antiquated, Manny. They're antiquated. Tell that to Nintendo, you know.
Yeah, tell that to Nintendo. Tell that to PlayStation. Back in the day, it's, you know, yeah, I get, you know, the thing about it, it's like, I get it. Why don't you just cut and run and say you're a fucking third party? Stop fucking pussyfooting around and being like, oh, well, this is, whatever. Just call it what it is. You're a third party studio and that's it. Just cut all your Xbox people, right, in the inside and just keep it Microsoft games. That's it. Don't even need to talk about noise. Have some other company make your Xboxes. I don't know. Make PlayStation do them.
Well,
because that's all you're really good for anyway.
Yeah. Well, there is one company already making their handheld.
Yeah, they're already making an Xbox.
You know, not to derail the conversation, but it's still about it. I find it funny that earlier this week, you know, Microsoft was basically saying, "Oh, if you have any questions about the ROG Ally, talk to Asus about it." I was like, but you're calling this an Xbox. I should be talking to you about it. You know, basically they're admitting what's literally in your face. The first word of, you know, the Ally isn't Xbox. First two words are Asus ROG, a brand that's already existed for many, many, many years. You know, my fucking monitors here are ROG. You know, come on, man. Mm-hmm. It's bullshit. Yeah, Rich, what do you think about this? Sarah Bond saying that exclusives are antiquated.
Well, I think this is all the talking points to make it very clear that whenever Phil Spencer is let go, then she will be next in line to take his role.
Oh, shit.
I think that is obviously going to happen. They really like Sarah Bond. All the stuff that she has been talking about with the ID and Xbox program and then the whole thing about, well, we don't really need to have exclusives. They can just be on every platform. They're really putting her out there a lot more often. So I think that is the direction that they are going in. But yes, Phil Spencer, his time is coming to an end. Maybe after they launch the next console, but it's definitely coming to an end. But yeah, I do have some comments to say about you mentioned Ninja Gaiden. I have a comment to say about that later, but I'm going to save it for when we get to that topic. But yeah, I think the exclusives are definitely done for Xbox, obviously. But to make that statement, it does not apply to Nintendo and Sony because clearly they still have exclusives. They still have a brand identity. Xbox does not have that. So I don't know what she's talking about.
Yeah. And the thing, you know, just to, in all fairness, no, you're right. In all fairness, even though some of our fans will not be happy about this, you have to put an asterisk when it comes to PlayStation exclusives, right? Because now, you know, they're on PC. They've been coming to PC for a while. And now we have a PlayStation, not developed, but PlayStation published game on Xbox, right? But to your point, Rich, PlayStation games still do have an identity. Granted, it may be, I'm sad, I want revenge. That may be the identity now. But it's still an identity, you know?
Oh, man.
Xbox, I agree with you about Phil. Like, and I'm going to say this. I agree with Jess Corden. He tweeted about this. I think when Phil is gone, the last vestige of what made Xbox, or at least that identified Xbox as the gaming brand, is gone. I really do think Phil Spencer, for all his ills and stuff, I think a lot of the dumb shit he says is coming from up top, that he has to say it, you know, because you could still tell this guy is passionate about gaming. It's just when you got Nadella above you telling you shit, you got to just toe the line, you know. So I think once Phil's gone, that's it. It's just going to be Microsoft gaming, you know. Get ready for that. I think they do have at least one more console in them, although we've heard conflicting reports. But even the next console, from what we understand, may not even be a console at all. Maybe more like a PC. And I know Xbox, Microsoft is such an interesting company. They were saying how most gamers won't be willing to spend $1,000 for a gaming handheld or a gaming console. I'm like, but you partnered with a company that is selling one for $1,000. And if your next console is like a PC, there's no way in hell it's going to cost under $1,000, you know? So kind of odd there, you know? Man. All right, let's move on here. I think we're pretty much done with the Xbox stuff. But, you know, there's just more bad news in the gaming industry. Generation sucks, man. All right, so now we have this news from Insider Gaming, but it's not from Harry and the Hendersons. It's from somebody else that writes there. Ubisoft subsidiary Massive Entertainment is laying off staff. Uh-oh, another one. Massive Entertainment, the Ubisoft subsidiary studio responsible for games such as The Division and Star Wars Outlaws, has announced that it is laying off a number of employees in a social media post. The studio called it a voluntary career transition program. That's a nice way of saying it, you know? So yeah, obviously we, you know, despite what the media wanted you to think, go ahead, Rich, you know, Star Wars Outlaws didn't do very well, you know? Go ahead, Rich, and then I'll, you know, finish up here.
Well, first and foremost, who the hell voluntary asked to be laid off with the holidays coming in the next couple of months? Makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, voluntary, my ass.
So I don't believe that whatsoever. I would say this is horrible news. First and foremost, let me give a shout out to our boy Carlos Romero, because I spoke to some Ubisoft reps. They said he did not support Star Wars Outlaws, so he is a contributing factor to this, him and as well as Chris, although I hope Chris is having an excellent vacation. But yes, that definitely played a factor. And let me also add that this is horrible. I will speak for Adam, because these guys are working on the Division 3 right now. So that makes you wonder what is going to happen with that game in terms of the quality, because the Division is really the only franchise they've worked on where it has been good. The Star Wars game did not hit, so I will be very concerned about that game now. Did they go into any specifics about how many people they let go, or did they just say they didn't give a number to it?
No, they just said, so I'll read this. To support this transition, actually, let me read this whole statement. As part of our ongoing evolution and long-term planning, we have recently realigned our teams and resources to strengthen our roadmap, ensuring that our continued focus on the Division franchise and the technologies, including Snowdrop and Ubisoft Connect, that power our games. So here's the bit I want to focus on. To support this transition responsibly, we introduce a voluntary career transition program, giving eligible team members the opportunity to take their next career step on their own terms, supported by a comprehensive package that includes financial and career assistance. My question is, who the hell is eligible and who isn't? What if you're not eligible? Were you just going to get kicked out the door? No package for you, bitch. Like, but yeah, no numbers here, because remember, Rich, it's voluntary.
So in other words, the people that are not eligible, like you said, they will get kicked out. They'll give them a Star Wars Outlaws t-shirt and say, thanks for your hard work, but you got to get the hell out of here. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here, you know? they said it right here. They are working on Division 3, so I guess they're going to have to do so with less people. Fucking gaming is so cooked. It's crazy. You know, like you said, Rich, you know, our condolences to Adam, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm going to just quickly go to this story, because it's also about layoffs. Again, anybody that honestly says the gaming industry is in a healthy position is fucking crazy. You see the signs of bleeding everywhere, you know? Here's another example. Although this one comes with a little bit of a caveat. And I'm going to try to be nice about this. But we'll see what happens. Valnet cuts entire features team amid widespread layoffs at The Gamer. The Gamer is a website. Cuts come as new data suggests more than 1,200 journalists have left media in the last 2 years. That's overall. So, like, Rich, our industry specifically, gaming journalists, not so good either, man. Let me read this real quick. This is from Games Industry Biz. It seems like, it's a short article. I'll just read the whole thing. Valnet has cut several members of The Gamer's editorial team, including, quote, the entire The Gamer features team along several other staff members, end quote. While it's unclear how many staff have been impacted by the layoffs, for The Gamer, for the whole industry, whatever, and The Gamer's staff page has not been updated since at least July 2025, despite at least two known rounds of cuts, several former staff have announced the layoffs on social media, including its news editor and features lead. The cuts come just months after the game and pop culture website Polygon was acquired by Valnet earlier this year. I'm starting to see why this is happening now. On the same day, Valnet announced the acquisition. Numerous longtime staff members revealed they'd either been laid off or had chosen to leave as part of the sale. Valnet was founded in 2012. We don't need to read that part. But yeah, basically, the gamer is done, you know? And this is the part where I'm going to try to be nice. The Gamer was an absolute trash website. Like,
no,
an absolute garbage website. Like, they were trying to outdo Kotaku and Polygon when it comes to all the, like, crazy political stuff. So I'm not surprised they probably weren't making any money, you know? Because I'm not happy they lost their jobs, but I'm not surprised they didn't. They did, I should say, because, you know, it's like when you push those specific buttons, the only time I've ever seen The Gamer is when people are making fun of them, you know? Like, that's not a good thing. Like, when most of your views are probably coming from YouTubers that hate you. Let's just be honest here, you know? So I don't know what the hell these people are going to do. Let me read this last part here. According to data from Press Engine provided to Video Game Chronicles, more than 1,200 video game journalists have left media in the past 2 years and haven't returned to the industry. That's crazy, too, you know? And this is where I put on... Again, I'm not going to call it a tinfoil hat. Brian, this is a new term we came up with while you were gone. Tinfoil headband. Just a little bit. Not too, you know.
Nice.
I take credit for that one. I think a lot of these quote-unquote journalists were only in the games industry, not really to talk about games, but to push whatever their specific agenda, you know. You read all these websites, you kind of see, you know. So it is upsetting when anybody loses their jobs, but I'm also not surprised this happened to The Game, especially with all the stuff they've been pushing, you know. Terrible website. Not surprised. And we're probably going to see more of this. Then, you know, Polygon, they had their fair share of layoffs too, you know, earlier this year. We talked about it. It's very different time than when we entered this thing, Rich. It's a whole different world, you know. What are your thoughts on this?
Oh, yeah. Well, definitely not good to hear people losing their jobs. But I will say, whenever there are sites that decide to engage and talk about all this political stuff instead, and fans are coming there to hear about video games, they're not coming there to hear their opinions on all this other crap. So that's I feel like when you do that, you definitely will make yourself a target in some capacity. Obviously, you're entitled to your opinion on certain stuff, but everything doesn't need to be shared with everybody, especially on that platform when people are there to learn about games, get information, and get tips, whatever. Find out new information on whatever games are coming out. So I'm not surprised it would happen. The only question I have is, does Valnet own IGN? Or is IGN owned by Pop Reed or another?
No, they're under Ziff Davis. Ziff Davis. Yeah, they're under Ziff Davis. Different company.
Okay, cool. I'm just asking. So if the goal is for IGN to be the only publication, because there's going to be some more cuts, and I'm pretty sure there's going to be some more cuts. Valnet will be cutting some of the other brands they have, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, you're right. Let me pull this up. I don't have this in the show notes, but it's semi-related to this, you know, because you brought up, like, hey, you're talking about stuff that isn't about the game specifically. Let me see if I can pull this up here. Okay, so I don't know what website wrote this, but this is about the Outer Worlds 2. Yeah, so this is what part of their review, Rich, their review says. The fact that Obsidian is an Xbox game studio under Microsoft, a company that has perpetually laid off workers and shuttered studios in recent times, some of the quotes provided by Xbox spokespersons ring similar bells to the corporate talk you can find in The Outer Worlds 2. Why are you tossing that in there in a fucking review? Like, what are we doing right now, man? You know?
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it reminds me of, you know, when Kotaku reviewed the PlayStation 5 and they had a whole section dedicated to, we shouldn't be thinking about game consoles right now because the economy's fucked up and the White House is on fire. Like, what the hell does this have to do with the PS5? You know? It's crazy, man. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, you know, with regard to what other... Because you're right, Rich. It may be, you know, IGN may be the only one left in the end, like them and GameSpot. GameSpot's still around, you know? But you don't hear a lot about them these days.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, IGN is probably the biggest one that's still around. All right, man, let's get into some lighter news because this has been heavy. It's been a heavy show. Lots of bad stuff. Although this next one is still annoys me because, again, another... Actually, no, you know what? I'm going to count this as bad news too. Fuck it. we're getting another remake, people. This time, we're getting the Fallout 4 Anniversary Edition. It's dropping.
Okay.
It's gonna drop on November 10th. It's also coming to Switch too. I think. I'm just gonna ask the obvious question. Fallout 4, while it was successful, right? That's not the game people want a remake of. Where's Fallout 3? Where's Fallout New Vegas? Why didn't we get those? By the way, I have my suspicion, and I'm just gonna say it. Manny, I know what you're gonna say too, because this one's easier to port. That's why.
Yeah, it's easier to port. That's all it is. Like, because for them to do the older games, kind of like Metal Gear, mm-hmm. you know, they would need to do a full on remake, you know, like a full, you know, from the bottom end remake.
Yep.
That's why the Oblivion one is even kind of like a, you know, the version that they put out is like that too, where it's literally just the old game running with some new graphics on top.
Yeah. So another. What's going on? Reggie, what's going on? We had to go something lighter. The whole day has been colorful heavy. Oh, that's an interesting term, colorful heavy. but yeah, is anyone even excited about this?
Well, let me just make one comment about this. We all know what this is. This is a cash grab because the second season of Fallout drops in December.
There you go.
But it's a missed. But like you said, Tony, this is a missed opportunity because New Vegas is in the second city of it's in the second season of Fallout. So if this was a Fallout remaster, that definitely would have been a good move. But again, this goes to show no strategy. They probably the same people that said we need you guys to bring in 30% more revenue. They probably told them yes, and that means releasing whatever you can now. We want our money now. So they said, all right, let's get this done in time before the show drops.
Yeah. Assyrian Air Force says, I thought Fallout 76 was coming to Switch 2. Why not that one? If I had to guess, it's probably because the game's too big, you know, because it's a big online game. It's not a self-contained game like Fallout 4, you know? I could be wrong, but that's my guess. I don't think that game could fit on there, you know? Fallout 4, a little bit of an easier thing. That was a PlayStation 4 game, Xbox One game. But yeah, November 10th, and they're going to be adding some creation content in there. But again, it's like, here we go. Another remake, people. Get ready.
Yep.
Another one. That's a big-ass game, and Nintendo servers aren't the best. Yeah. Yep. So there you go. All right, so this one, we're tossing into the rumor pile. So please keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. But given everything that's been happening, I will not be surprised if this happens. The rumor is, and we're just going to get right to the thing, Halo remake is coming. And the most interesting part is, you know what your first, what I know what you're thinking. coming to PlayStation? Yes, it is. So if that happens, and again, big if that happens, the big three of Xbox all on PlayStation now.
It's funny. Like, I didn't noticing a lot of journalists and influencers taking photos inside of the Halo Museum. Funny thing, I've actually been to the Halo Museum.
Ooh, fancy.
But I was not allowed to post any images. They've specifically requested to post anything, but you could see it.
Yeah, I will.
So yeah. I've been coattailing people's posts. I'm like, hey, I didn't post anything. It's like, hey, listen, that's what the Halo Museum looks like. But back when I visited,
yeah, and that's the thing I kind of wanted to talk about, because again, obviously we're not confirming anything here because we obviously don't know, but
yeah,
we're starting to see some pieces here. Because like you said, there are a lot of journalists who are just randomly posting pictures from the Halo thing. So, again, we've been in this industry long enough to let you know, if you have a bunch of journalists taking pictures of the same thing, there's probably an event. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, there's probably, if it's not Halo, it's something else that's happening maybe soon. Who knows? But yeah, it just seems... because again, whenever comes time that these sorts of things happen, it's either they've been there or they're there currently, and it's like a embargo is lifted or it hasn't lifted,
I could tell you this. I've been to some events where they've told me, if you want, you could take photos of the event area, just don't take photos of the game. I've been told that many times. And from what I've seen, it seems like that's what happened. That people have been posting photos from, I'm going to have to guess, an event. Yeah, it's a Halo Museum. So again, journalists, guys that are not connected to each other, they're all posting pictures from the Halo Museum. Something that is very rare that they don't normally let you do. Something's up.
Yeah, only if you go to the 343 office, at least as a civilian, as myself who got in, they specifically told me no photos in here. If you do take any photos, you can't share them on social media, stuff like that. So obviously it's okay for the journalists to post something post that they were at the museum. But yeah, the museum is just like right at the front. If you get into Halo Studios or 343, it's like to the left. So again, something might be going on over there. We don't know, but it just seems like something's going on, going on.
So I want to read this tweet from a Twitter account called Halo Leaks. So they say, and again, remember, take this with a heavy grain of fucking salt, because this could just be, trust me, bro vibes, I can definitely confirm the Halo CE remake, Combat Evolved remake, will have sprint and quote unquote modern gameplay mechanics. They said it, confirming that. Then this part, this is their speculation. I'm of the belief the game's gameplay will be similar to the new Halo multiplayer game, which I also believe is Halo 7's multiplayer. Halo 7. That's the first I've heard of that. That is super interesting. So let me read this from Game Rant. A new report from Halo Leaks account on Twitter states that the game is being built using, quote, modern gameplay mechanics. It doesn't go into too much detail on how these mechanics will differ from the original game's controls and features. But one change it tells fans to expect is the addition of sprinting, which you obviously couldn't do in the original one. This gameplay mechanic was not available in the original release of the first three mainline Halo games, and it made its franchise debut as one of the new features in Halo Reach. I didn't know that. Which was released in 2010. Similar gameplay mechanics to the ones being used in the remake are also reportedly being developed for an upcoming Halo multiplayer game, which has been floating around the rumor mill under the title Project Accor, but which Halo Leaks believes is also the multiplayer element of Halo 7. Very interesting stuff. Let me read it, because I'm finding shit out here. The existence of a separate multiplayer Halo game, it's also a rumor that has been shared by multiple sources. In July, Rebs Gaming reported that multiplayer mode could be a missing feature in the Halo Combat Evolved remake after he reportedly spoke with two different sources connected to the development of Halo games, both of whom denied knowing anything about a multiplayer element. Rebs Gaming also hinted at the possibility of a sprint feature being added to the game. Oh, okay, so it seems, if I'm reading this correctly, that we're going to get the Halo 1 remake will be just the game, right? And then there's going to be a separate multiplayer component. For you guys who could fill me in, because I'm not familiar with Halo, like I didn't play the series until like, Carlos, when did we play those? I don't know if you're still here, like 2019 or some shit like that. He's not here right now, but that's the first time I really, like I played the first Halo. I played bits of the first three Halo games with our friend Evil Chris back in the day, but I was just, you know, split screen and shit. Did the original Halo have like a separate dedicated multiplayer mode? I honestly don't know. I know two and three had it, but like, you know what I'm saying, Manny? Like it had the split screen. I know that, but like online PvP, did they have that? If anybody can answer, Carlos probably has a reason I hear right now.
Yeah. Cause I remember, the other one, like you could do, no, I think the original Halo did have an online.
Yeah.
But it did also have, but the better experience was through, connecting all your Xboxes together.
I think that may have been it. Like you had to do it like a landline. Because I remember those landline parties for Halo. So maybe that's how you did it. But yeah, again, if this rumor is true, it seems like multiplayer is going to be a separate thing. Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Obviously, we don't know when the hell this is going to happen. So, if it does happen, stay tuned. But again, Forza, Gears, Microsoft Flight Simulator.
That's it.
I know it's a rumor. It's going to fucking happen. It has to happen.
Yeah. Especially with Sarah Bond saying stuff like, oh, mm-hmm. Excuses are a thing of the past. I'm like, it's coming. And if and when it comes, I feel like all the Xbox fans are just going to throw their fucking Xboxes up. Because it's like, at this point, it's like, what else is there? What other reason is there to keep this, to keeping around?
None. It's over.
Maybe to play your really old Xbox games because
can't play it on your ROG.
Can't play it on the ROG, which is supposedly an Xbox with giant quotes on my hand I'm doing right now.
Table tennis, can't play that. Mm-hmm. Why is Chrome fucking up? Anyway, we only have one more story here, and just we'll be here a little bit. It's not a story, it's a review. So Rich and I are gonna do our review of Ninja Gaiden 4, which is available now on Xbox, PlayStation, PC. Not an exclusive, So Rich, I'll let you, as usual, I'll let you start off and I'll just jump in. When I want to say some stuff, but yeah, Ninja Gaiden 4, you played the game, beat the game. What do you think of it?
Well, I think the game is fantastic. Now, I saw that there are quite a bit of varying people online who have different opinions on the game. Much respect to them, but I disagree. I think the game was great, and let me go ahead and start. Like, yes, as Tony mentioned, I do have a written review on thecoalition.com. I also have a video review on the Coalition Gaming channel. When I went to play this game, because I played it during the Xbox preview event I went to back around PAX West. That was back in August. And I had said, when I played that was the best game I played at the preview event. I got through the entire first level. The game is fantastic. Obviously, the focus is on the new protagonist, Yakumo.
Yeah.
And all the cool weapons that he acquires as he goes through the campaign. Obviously, when I wrote the review, there was certain stuff that I could not talk about because spoilers. So I'm not going to talk about all of that. I'm not going to really get into any of the story spoilers. But I will say this. I like I said, the combat, phenomenal. I think the game looks good. It looks great on Xbox Series X, obviously. I'm sure it looks a lot better on PC, and I have heard it also looks better on PlayStation 5. Now, I didn't play it on PlayStation 5, so I can't confirm that. But, the combat is awesome. There's a lot of challenge in the game, and I will admit, when I started playing this game again, when I got my review code, I did have a little bit of trouble with their first boss. I'm not going to lie, because it took me a while at their preview event. And then when I got access to the game again, it did take me a while. But after I got past their first boss, oh, yeah, it was smooth sailing. It's still a challenging game. You will get your ass whooped over and over again. But that is part of the game. That's part of what makes it fun. Of course, Ryu also is a part of the game. He does play a role within the story. But let me say this right now, and this is where the controversy comes in.
Let's go.
The Yakumo character, I think, is cool. You know, he's, like I said in my review, this character is pretty much a badass. He doesn't care. He doesn't listen to. I remember in one of those missions, they, you know, I believe it was the jungle stage, where they're saying, hey, we need to get past the statue.
Yeah.
My man just busts through the statue and they're like, wait a second, you shouldn't be doing that. You're gonna anger the gods and stuff like that. So, but this character, he's very cocky, which I think is cool. He is very confident in what he can do. And then of course he comes across Ryu. And as was already shown in the trailers, I can say this. Yes, they do have a confrontation. You saw that in the trailer, so that's not a spoiler. But I will say this. If you are a fan of Ryu Hayabusa, you might be disappointed that he only has 4 playable chapters in this game. Now, it is worth saying, when you beat the game, you can replay the game in its entirety as him if you want to. But really, this story is about Yakumo, his journey as a character. So I feel like you really did not need to have Ryu in this game because, I mean, they want you to focus on this new character, all the cool weapons he has, all the other stuff you can do. So I feel like that's what they should have focused on. But I knew they had to make sure, hey, listen, we got to get Ryu in here. Fans know he's a part of this series. We still need to have him in this game. So I understand that. And now I will also say, and I mentioned this in my review as well, they do have a DLC story expansion that's coming out next year. That is titled The Two Masters. So my assumption is that Ryu will have more content in that particular DLC. They haven't announced any details about this other than it's coming next year. So we have to wait and see where they're going with that. But overall, I thought the game was great. I love the action. I love the traversal elements they put in the game. A lot of those sequences. And I definitely would recommend people check it out if they want to play a great action adventure game. Let me say this last point. This game is really about the action. The story is secondary. And for those that have an issue with the story, I don't know. I think you need to focus on what this game is supposed to be about, which is about ripping people into shreds and just having fun. That's what this is about. You know, the story plays a role, but really it's just about the action.
I mean, like in any of the Ninja Gaiden games, was the story like no. this earth shaking thing? It was just an excuse for you to cut the hell out of things, like you know, you know, or even going back to the old one, it's like, okay, what's the story to that? Oh, he needs to get his girlfriend or some shit, right? You know, come on, like if you're expecting a fucking Last of Us level story, you're not gonna get that in a fucking Ninja Gaiden. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I do want to, you know, jump on that specific point. Then I'll obviously get into my thoughts on it. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to word this correctly. I know there's certain people out there that expect like a big sweeping narrative, right? But I'm like, not every game needs to have this, right? When I'm playing fighting games, I'm not worried about the fucking story. I want to fight, you know? And think about it like this, right? Games back in the day were not dependent on story. Some were, but not most of them. You played for the action. You played for the gameplay, right? And I know these same people will turn around and go, we've, quote unquote, evolved. No, we have more choices now. That's what you should say. Like them saying we've evolved and we need to have more more thought out stories and games, you're limiting to yourself to only narrative-based games. There's still a place for games that focus purely on gameplay or mostly on gameplay. So to say that, oh, this game has a shitty story, that's part of package, 0 out of 10 or whatever the fuck they're going to give it, right? I think you're doing not only a disservice to yourself, but to your fans, you know? Because you're not understanding what type of game. Basically, you're not going in there asking, what is this game trying to do? And how well does it? You're going in there going, this is what I want to see in this game. Oh, it doesn't have it? This game is shit. That's very fucking ignorant. Let's just be honest here, you know? And by the way, that question I ask, that's always what I go to with every game review. What is this game trying to do? How well does it do it? That's it, right? But if you're coming in there expecting fucking War and Peace or The Great Gatsby or some shit, you're going to be disappointed. And I'm going to say you're doing, yeah, like I said, you're doing yourself and your readers and your viewers, whatever your audience may be, you're doing them a disservice because you're, and I'm going to say it right now, you're purposely looking for a reason to shit on this game, you know? And I think you're purposely looking for a reason to shit on this game because you don't like the genre or maybe you don't like the region it came from, you know? So I just had to toss that out there before I talk about this, but that's very aggravating to me, you know, just seeing these dishonest people trying to use this game of all games to push their bullshit, you know. Anyway, on Ninja Gaiden 4, to quote Rich, I agree with everything that has been said so far, you know. Yeah, no, the game's fantastic, man. Yeah, I will, you know, obviously get to, I'm going to start with the negative stuff first, and I'm going to get to the good. Because even though I, you know, obviously I do say you shouldn't focus on the story, yeah, it is not great, you know. It exists purely to get you from one point to the other, perfectly fine, don't care. Don't care about that. Some of the dialogue bothered me, especially the priestess. She talks like a modern Zoomer, which bothered the fuck out of me. You know, I'm like, why are you talking like this? It's supposed to be the future. Like, talk different, you know? I'm not saying you have to talk like highfalutin, just talk different, you know? But, like, it just sounded like a fucking TikToker was talking to me. I'm like, a little bit. Like, it kind of made, like, the game less serious in that sense. It does get better towards the end of the game when shit gets more real. I agree with you all about Yakumo. I like him. And I think I liked him because he didn't speak that much. My man just said a couple words here and there, and that was it. You know, he did say a lot more than Joe Higashi, you know, in Shinobi. Joe Higashi, I think he said one word in the whole game, you know. Yeah. Like, most of the time it's just, Yakumo says more, but, you know, he keeps it, you know, good. I like his repertoire. Very fast character. And you really notice a difference. And Rich, I want to get your thoughts on this. The time I really noticed a difference how fast Yakumo is when I finally started playing as Hayabusa. You know those scenes where you have to, like, do the wall jump, up, 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 up? Yakumo, it's like, bah, 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 you're up there in 3 seconds. With Hayabusa, it's like, bah, 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 bah. It's slower, you know? Like, oh, that's kind of interesting. But yeah, very fast character. You really notice how fast he is when you have those Hayabusa levels because he's a slower character and he only has one weapon, a katana, whereas Yakumo has a katana, this like fucking mace, and this other weapon is like a really cool weapon. It's like a combo. It's like one part of it is like a giant like shuriken, and then another one is like, it's like bombs and shit. It's like dope stuff. You know, really good moves. You could do a lot of combos. And, you know, we failed to mention this. One of the reasons this game plays so well is because it's not just by Team Ninja. Platinum Games had their hand in this game as well. And it clearly shows, you know, because Yakumo has his, like, regular stance moves and stuff. And then he has this other form called Blood Raven. Like, the Blood Raven, like, stance, like, it's slower, right? That, like, all your and every weapon has blood stance combos, right? But it's slower, but it's like more powerful, and it's really good to get past enemy defenses. Because one thing I really like about this game is if you keep spamming the same moves on an enemy, even low level ones, they're gonna get wise to you and just start blocking or get away from you. Like, the game forces you to constantly change your shit up, and it's good to like mix in the Blood Raven stuff to kind of break their guard. And because this game's a very aggressive game, you can only do Blood Raven moves when you have a certain meter. How do you get that meter up? You got to kill motherfuckers, you know? So you can't just be, like, trying to run away from people and stuff. And then once you've built up enough of this other meter called the Berserk meter, you can unleash this, like, one super powerful move that's, like, really useful against either one enemy, or it can actually take out all the immediate enemies around you. So if you're in a bind, which you will be in this game because it's fucking hard, you know, it'll get you out of jail quick. But just to keep that aggression, if you built up, like, a Berserker move, if you don't start, like, attacking, you're going to lose it real fast. So that's good to know. Also, you unlock a bunch of stuff at the end of the game. One of them, if the game isn't hard enough for you, you can unlock the master difficulty, I believe it's called. It's probably called something else, but it's like harder than hard, you know? And within most levels, there's also these things called purgatory gates, which are like challenges, you know, Rich, those will really fuck you up. You know, I haven't finished all of those.
Oh yeah. That was a lot of fun. Those are fun. I didn't finish all of them either, but yes, that's a good challenge for somebody.
No, Assyrian Air Force, it doesn't mention Itagaki because the game was already done before he passed away, you know, so there's no mention of him at all. Although in my review, I do mention Itagaki, you know, I said I could, and I could be wrong about this because Itagaki, you know, temperamental kind of guy, but I would like to believe he'd at least acknowledge this game, that he'd be like, hey, you know what? That's what I tried to do in my games, you know, because it's solid, man. What's some other stuff? Purgatory Gates are dope. Lots of crazy challenges. And even though most levels are fairly linear, you can kind of go off the beaten path to find like extra like items and shit, the Purgatory Gates. And there's also this one guy who constantly keeps popping up. You're trying to, like, he's like a mini boss and shit. But every single time you beat him, like, he's always like, ah, fuck this. And then he leaves. I'm like, yo, I want to kill you. Stop. Get back here, you know? And I don't think I unlocked the final version of him because the last time I fought him, he still just left. Like, oh, nuts to this. You know? So that's kind of fun. The bosses are really cool for the most part. Oh, yeah, I do want to go back to the Hayabusa part. I agree with you because his levels, and I've seen others talk about this, so I'm free to talk about it. Like, basically, his levels are retreads of some levels that you've done with Yakumo, which is, I know what you guys are thinking, because I had the same thought. Like, wait, is this Devil May Cry 4? It's not that egregious. You're playing the same levels, but different parts of the levels. So, for the most part, you do have to retread some parts. So, I was like, if you're going to bring back Hayabusa, this is not the way to do it. Not, like, basically, you know, again, I've seen others talk about this. I could talk about it, too. You're at a point in the game where you're about to fight the final boss. Then you got to go back like three or four levels to play as Hayabusa, redoing shit, playing the same fucking bosses. I'm like, what are we doing right now, man? Like, I think it would have been better if those levels were separate, you know, on their own thing. But there is one thing I will say that I really kind of enjoy. And it's not a story spoiler. Because, again, people have already talked about this. When I was playing as because obviously you get to control Yakumo after you control Hayabusa, and all the parts that you go through again as Yakumo after Hayabusa, all the blood that you spilled is still all over the walls and floors. I'm like, oh shit, that's cool, you know. But it's not like, you could tell it's not fresh. It's like, oh, it's that blood's been there a little bit, you know. So that was cool. And Rich, you brought up PlayStation. I did play this on the PS5 Pro, and that one has two extra modes. There's a 60 FPS mode with all the graphical bells and whistles and all that, you know, ray tracing, all that good stuff, or a 120 hertz mode, which doesn't have as much graphical fidelity, but you get to play the game at 120 frames a second. So I opted for 60 frames, you know, because I wanted it to look good and run well. And the other thing, yeah, the game, I will say, graphically, it looks very nice. But I do wish the levels weren't so bland and boring. The level design is not good in this game. And I know, you know, some of you guys will say like, oh, like, you know, like you're not, you know, the level design doesn't matter because you're killing stuff. No, it kind of does, because other Ninja Gaiden games have had great level design. This one, very uninspired. And I understand, like, story-wise, why it's always fucking raining. But at the same time, like, you could have made this a little bit more visually interesting, you know. Very drab levels, very like just kind of uninspired. But a lot of my problems with the game, and I'm giving it 4 out of 5, by the way, because that combat carries you so far. It is so satisfying. And my greatest hope is that this will spark a revival of the action game genre. I'm talking about Devil May Cry, Bayonetta, because what have we had for 10 fucking years now? What superseded all of that? The Souls-like genre, which I love, obviously. I've talked about it ad nauseum, but come on now. Like, not every game needs to have the little fucking bonfire and the enemies that respawn and shit, you know, and the fucking level progression. Like, we don't need, just give me a fucking katana, let me slash shit. That's all I need. You know, maybe some shit I could throw like a shuriken or a fucking gun. Like, can we have those games back? So I like, this shows that this genre is still viable, man. But yeah, overall, great game. I'm not going to say it's my game of the year, but it's definitely in my top five. And thankfully this year, I can actually say I'm not just saying top five because I've only played five of the games. I've actually played quite a number of good games this year. But, you know, so this game is dope. So yeah, go check it out on your preferred platform. Unless it's Switch, because it's not on Switch, you know. But Ninja Gaiden, two thumbs up from me and Rich, you know. All right, one, man. Yeah, well, go ahead, man. Anything else you want to add?
Oh, I just got a quick question for you, Tony. So, of all the weapons, which is there one that you like in particular than the others, or you just like them all the same?
No, I definitely like not the last weapon Yakumo gets. We can't talk about that. The fourth weapon, the one I kind of mentioned, it's like a combo of like a shuriken and bombs. I fucking love that shit because like the finishing moves, I forgot to mention that. This game is super fucking bloody. I think this game's bloodier than all the other ninja. I'm like, holy shit. I loved it. I said this in my review. I'm like, listen, man, I'm a 15-year-old at heart. Yeah, so I loved all that fucking gore, you know? But yeah, with that weapon specifically, Rich, when you like do the finishing moves, it usually ends with you shoving a bomb in their mouth and them blowing up or something.
Oh, it's
fucking great, you know? But yeah, which one was your favorite weapon?
Yeah, it's the same for me as well. It's like this mechanical arms and the bombs. Yeah.
Motherfucker thought he was Spider-Man. the mechanical arms.
Yeah.
But you know which one? Second one I like, it's like a mace, but it's also a drill. So you can like, and you see the blood splattering everywhere, you know? I will say this though, if the game is too brutal for you, you can actually knock it down to like here. It's called hero difficulty. It's basically easy mode. Or you could also go into the accessibility and do some modifiers like instant blocking, instant dodging and stuff, you know? I don't mind that stuff. Like, yeah, have it in there. I want people to enjoy this game. You know, there's some people like, oh, it's gotta be there, you know? Like, yes, for Souls games, keep the shit, leave it alone. That's the way those games are designed to be, right? But for this game, have different difficulty options. That's fine, you know? Again, I don't know how well this game will do in the grand scheme of things, but I hope it does well enough where it's like, okay, bring this genre back. Capcom, just saying, bruh. Just saying, where's Devil May Cry? Because the last Devil May Cry was great. I'm like, keep it coming, you know? One of the first RE engine games too, if I remember. That's how long ago that game came out, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, Rich, any other thoughts on Ninja Gaiden 4?
Oh, no, I agree with everything you said. Definitely looking forward to seeing how it does overall. And the last thing I will say is, I know there has been quite a lot of bad stuff said about Xbox, rightfully so.
Yeah.
But one good thing they did do is spend money on making this game, because I don't know if this game would have gotten made if they didn't. And we know Phil Spencer has been trying to get some type of Japan representation type of games on the platform. So I think I'm glad that they invested in this, and hopefully we get more games.
That's a good point. Yeah, because this is an Xbox Studios game, which I said is wild. When I turn on my PlayStation, I see that big green logo there. Like, here we go. It's crazy, man. But yeah, man, good stuff. All right, let's start wrapping up here. So Rich, since you were already talking, what's coming up on the Coalition this weekend?
Well, right now, we're working on some things for next week. Obviously, our very good friend, Mr. Adam Vale, the TV Terminal, I'm pretty sure he will have some coverage of some of the stuff that he has been covering. I'm working on some stuff for next week, something I can't really talk about quite yet. I do want to say stay tuned to the website as well as the channel, the Coalition Gaming, because there's going to be things happening. And one quick reminder, if you did not check out our Daryl Dixon season finale, definitely check that out. Like I said, that is the best spinoff for The Walking Dead in recent memory. And yeah, we have more things to come in the future, so stay tuned for that.
Good stuff. Manny, you got anything?
Well, you know, this is the usual thing. So like I said, before Street Sharks number one is out, so it's that came out this month. So it's a number one with Akari Randolph and myself on the cover, as well as TMNT Journeys number two, which is already out, came out this month right before New York Comic Con. In fact, somebody did show up with our cover for me to sign, which was great. So it was nice to see that. So yeah, so that's all that's going on right now. I mean, you know, obviously there's always more to come, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned indeed. All right, man, we're gonna wrap it up here, so make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, and all that good jazz. Join a Discord. Shout out to all the new members that have been joining us recently. You guys are awesome. So thank you for the support. And obviously, make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez, Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
And Brian Manjoma.
It's the beginning of spooky season.
Yeah, we know that because of fucking Discord, man. It's playing this crazy, like, spooky chime now. Make a call. It's crazy, man. Or, Brian, are you saying it's spooky season because the mayor that New York's about to have? Your boy's cooked. Your boy's cooked, Brian. Get me out of here.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Oh, man. All right, guys. So we'll see you on Sunday. Later.
Later.